Get to Old Navy Saturday only. Women's and girls' tanks are on sale for just $2. That's right, just $2. No better tanks, no better price. Just $2. One day only, Saturday only at Old Navy. Valid 6/29, select styles only. In-store only, limit 5. Get to Old Navy Saturday only. Women's and girls' tanks are on sale for just $2. That's right, just $2. No better tanks, no better price. Just $2. One day only, Saturday only at Old Navy. Valid 6/29, select styles only. In-store only, limit 5.
It's time for your weekly fix of wrestling nostalgia when we look at wrestling's past eras from the Attitude Era. To the Reality Era.
I'd like to think that maybe this company will be better after Vince McMahon's dead, but the fact is, it's going to get taken over by his idiotic daughter and his doofus son-in-law and the rest of his stupid family.
To today. Here on the WWE Podcast.
Hey guys, welcome to the WWE Podcast. This is the wrestling nostalgia portion of the week, and I've got a great one for you today. This week is the Undertaker streak ending. Yeah, we all remember that moment. The moment when we all had our mouths hung low to the ground and wondered, did that just happen? They have to. No, the referee's got to come out. Somebody's got to reverse the decision. Somebody's got to restart the match. And no, they didn't. And almost 5 years later, can you believe the streak was broken almost 5 years ago? Just crazy to think about. And so we're 5 years removed from that moment. But it's a moment that, looking back, I still don't believe was the right call. And I knew that it would take time for all of us to digest that moment, to realize the magnitude of that moment and understand it. And it wasn't going to be something that we could look back at, and even in 6 months, a year, and decide whether or not it was the right call. But I think 5 years is a long enough and large enough sample size to determine if indeed it was the right call. And ultimately, I don't think it was. I don't think WWE maximized what they could with that. Yes, Paul Heyman put it in his promos. They beat it to death. But Brock Lesnar was there so few and far between. And it's the same formula with Paul Heyman coming out, of Brock Lesnar standing there, Paul Heyman cutting a promo and leaving. And while successful in that formula, the sacrifice of taking the streak away did not equal or exceed the benefits you got from Brock Lesnar being this unbeatable guy, you know, going barreling through John Cena, Roman Reigns, up until Roman ended up conquering him, this past year. But I ultimately don't think that the streak was worth any of that. I know that Vince McMahon was trying to use Brock Lesnar to really get over the other guys, namely Roman Reigns, and it was not worth the squeeze. The juice was not worth the squeeze in this instance. But that's not really what we're here to talk about as far as the implications of the streak ending. I want to go back to the moment that it actually happened, and I'm going to give you guys some audio just to jog your memory and give you guys that moment that we all remember so fondly. And before I do that, though, I want to set the table here. This is the WWE Podcast, as I mentioned in the open, and thank you for joining me. This is a bi-weekly, sometimes tri-weekly show, if you get lucky, and this is a show that is obviously about WWE, and those of you that like wrestling, you came to the right place. Those of you that don't, well, you're going to hate me and or you've already shut off this show. So thank you guys once again for joining me. I'm everywhere. I'm not even going to list every place that I am. Typically, I'll do that on every show. You guys know where to find me everywhere on every possible podcast app that there is. So check me out everywhere. I'll just leave it at that and cover all bases. And also on Patreon, if you want an ad-free experience, I gotta plug that because I think that that's a great way to get rid of all the ads that you guys despise. Sometimes they're good. Sometimes you just want to click through them. And if you don't like the ad so much, you can go to patreon.com/WWE podcast and you can get your ad free experience there and a bunch of other goodies too. So check that out. Follow me on Twitter too at the WWE podcast, where I give my passionate thoughts and reviews on pay-per-views as they happen. I don't watch Raw and SmackDown as they happen because I'm a Hulu Plus subscriber and a very happy one at that. I do not have to sit through the 3-hour Raws, and I do not have to deal with some of the nonsensical things that happen in real time. Of course, I review it and I read what happens and as the full results. But so that's how I experience WWE, and obviously with the network. But all right, so let's give you guys that moment. Let's let you bask in all its glory. And I don't mean that too facetiously. You know what? I did think that this was a big moment. I don't think it was the biggest mistake WWE ever made, but it is certainly one of the biggest moments in the last 5 years for WWE. So just take a listen, and we'll circle back, and I want to give you guys some thoughts. And hear yours as well, by the way, at the WWE podcast if you want to tweet me there. I mean, that moment, guys, it was like, you know, we all remember seeing that one guy. I believe his name is Elijah. I mean, he's made his Twitter career. Is that a thing? I don't know if that's a thing. Off of being that guy in the front row that had eyes as big as a bowling ball standing there. And I think we all felt that. I remember sitting in my living room and in my apartment 5 years ago, and just going, looking at my buddy going, what do you mean he lost? I mean, I remember saying, what? And I remember saying a few choice words that are not PG friendly and just saying, what the hell just happened? And for those of you that are newer fans, check this out. It really just, it's hard for newer fans. This may be a disadvantage for newer fans to understand the magnitude of a 21 game, not really game, 21 match winning streak. Boy, I got baseball on my mind. 21 match win streak at WrestleMania. Yeah, it's all a work, but it was part of the mystique of The Undertaker. It was something you look forward to every year, and you knew that he was going to come out victorious, but it was how close could that guy that particular year get to beating The Undertaker? And, you know, it was just something that it's that something that you just don't forget, something that you just don't really ever want to relive if you're a fan of the streak living. I think that if the streak continued, Undertaker would be just as successful, and having the streak intact probably would have, I think, added to the mystique and lore of Undertaker. You know, you could say he had a 21 match win streak, but you can no longer say that he's undefeated. Now, for Brock Lesnar to be the guy to beat Undertaker, Vince McMahon's logic was, well, who else on the roster at the time had the credentials and the believability to beat The Undertaker other than Brock Lesnar? And Vince is right, but here's where it falls short for Vince. Brock Lesnar is not your future. I know that you're trying to build stars from Brock, but Brock's not there enough to do that. He works a handful of dates during the year. He was an absentee champion. And I don't think that, looking back, and I at the time and 5 years later, still don't believe it was the right call. That being said, again, I don't hate it. It wasn't the worst call in WWE history, that's for sure. I don't hate it. I just don't think that while there were benefits, that the benefits outweighed the massive downside of having the Undertaker streak broken. And you could say all streaks are meant to be broken. Nonsense. Are they really, though? Why? Why are all streaks meant to be broken? Is every streak ever meant to be broken? Cal Ripken Jr. played how many thousands of games straight? That streak was never broken. Why does every streak have to be broken? There's no logic there. It sounds nice, but when you break it down into logic, I don't like it. So, again, I really think that The Undertaker, in that moment, while he was concussed, if you guys remember, had to be brought to the hospital. He collapsed backstage and ended up having to stay in the hospital overnight and was concussed, as I said. And it really started to me, that was the last real match for The Undertaker, and one in which he probably realized that Father Time has really taken over his drive to be in that ring and perform at the level that he wanted to perform at. But the magnitude of that streak, when you guys think about 21-0 and to go 21-1, let me just say this. If you were betting on The Undertaker losing that night, you are a very rich man. I mean, to think about the odds, nobody saw it coming. Yeah, it's Brock Lesnar, but Undertaker's winning. I mean, that's just what happens. For 21 straight times, why would it not happen a 22nd time? So it was shocking. It was devastating in some respects. It took the air out of the building. It left people going, WTF. So it was just a puzzling decision. I don't think it was a terrible one because it was done with the right intentions and right thinking and right reasoning. But I don't think they achieved that. And I think it's time that we can finally say that. I appreciate what they were trying to do. I appreciate what Vince was trying to do. But I don't think he got there with what he lost in the Undertaker's streak being broken. Those are my thoughts on that. If you guys haven't seen it, I mean, sheesh, please take a look at that and relive it. And for those of you that are new fans, just go look at any Undertaker DVD. Just look at the network and look at there's specials on Undertaker's WrestleMania 21 match win streak. Go look at that and then watch the Undertaker streak being broken at WrestleMania 30 against Brock Lesnar in New Orleans, and just try to understand the magnitude of that. It was just, it hurt as a fan, and not too many things make me, that was the last time I can say I legitimately had my mouth open, hung open as a fan in disbelief. And that's what they were going for, to shock everybody. Oh, it's a surprise to shock, but let's get beyond the shock factor of everybody's talking and go, what are the long-term effects of this? Was it worth it? Ultimately, I say no. Maybe there's an argument out there that could retort that thought process, but ultimately, I don't think so. All right, so those are my thoughts on my wrestling retro nostalgia segment. I'm going to take a quick break, but on the other side of the break, I'm going to be discussing a little bit of SmackDown Live because I just finished that up yesterday. I know I'm always behind with the Hulu version, but that's what happens when you have a 9-month-old kid and you have no time to watch Raw of 3 hours and SmackDown 2 hours live, and you're exhausted. And sleep is something that I think that's how you pronounce it. Sleep. I think I pronounced that right. Yeah. So that word, whatever that is, I don't know what it is. So you guys can understand my Hulu version is my friend. Okay. So I'm going to take a quick break, and then I've got some very interesting and candid and conflicting thoughts about Ronda Rousey just absolutely demolishing the fourth wall, breaking kayfabe, going, quote, out of character, and the whole Dave Meltzer thing as well. Dave Meltzer blew up Twitter yesterday with some comments that he had about Roman Reigns' illness, and the internet just destroyed him. So I've got some comments on that, and of course, a little bit on SmackDown Live. So believe me, you're going to want to stick around. Okay, so let me ask you guys a question. Would you like to increase your cash flow? Kind of a stupid question, right? Who wouldn't? Well, I would encourage you guys to go to 247forlife.com. That's 247forlife.com. And when you go to the site, you can just put in your email, some basic info, and you can get hooked up into an amazing opportunity where it will help you do just that, increase your cash flow. Why is it, you know, look, when you think about it, why is it that some people just seem to make money no matter what the economic climate is, while the rest of us have trouble even scraping by? Well, 3% of the population controls 97% of the wealth in the free world today. Think about that. 3% controls 97% of the wealth. So what are they doing that we're not? Head over to 247forlife.com. Again, this is not some get-rich-quick scheme. You just go to the site, enter your basic information, and you get free instant access to the most powerful wealth creation system on the internet today. It'll get you a lot closer to that 3% group. Remember, guys, they control 97% of the money. So check out 247forlife.com. You'll be glad you did. All right, guys, welcome back. And so let's get to Ronda Rousey. I think that's the number one topic right now on Twitter, on my mind anyway. And I've gone back and forth on how I am viewing Ronda Rousey and what she's doing on Twitter and what she's beginning to do on air. And we all know what it is. She is breaking that fourth wall. She is breaking kayfabe, breaking character, saying wrestling's fake. And this was posted on her own personal YouTube channel, so this is not under any WWE umbrella whatsoever. I'm going to give you guys my thoughts in just a minute. I'm going to let you listen to this. And then on the other side of it, it's only about 40 seconds. I'm going to let you guys know whether I think this is scripted or whether I think this is Ronda being Ronda going rogue. And I've flopped back and forth between it, but I have now a very firm and confident stance on this and a very passionate opinion on this whole deal. So just take a listen, and I'll be right on the other side with some comments. But just a little disclaimer, I normally don't have profanity on my show, and so I'm labeling this one as explicit just because of the fact of Ronda Rousey cursing on my show. And so just so you guys know, I normally don't do this, but it's such a internet buzzworthy item that I have to cover. So if you guys got kids in the car, or if you're listening with those who don't want to hear this language, again, this is not me. This is Ronda Rousey. So just a disclaimer, and here we go.
And it wasn't a promo. They gave me other things to say. I didn't fucking say it. That's the thing. It's not a fucking promo. It's not an act. I'm not going out there and doing their fucking act anymore. They can say it's part of the act and try to save face to everybody else, but it's not an act. I'm going out there, I'm doing whatever the hell I want, and they can explain it away however they want, but fuck them. Everybody, WWE Universe included. I meant that I'm going to disrespect the sport that they all love so much. Oh, don't break kayfabe, Ronda. Wrestling's scripted. It's made up. It's not real. None of those bitches can fucking touch me. The end.
Now, okay, there's so much to unpack there, and to be honest with you, I've gone back and forth on how I'm really viewing this whole deal. Part of me, and I tweeted this out, part of me loves this. Part of my wrestling soul dies when I listen to this, because it is such a ballsy move to do. Whether it's scripted or not, it's a ballsy move to do. And let me just lay it out there, guys. This, in my mind, and I feel very confident of this, although they made me question it, which I guess is what the whole purpose of this is, and to get people talking. Well, you got people talking, but maybe not in the right way. So I believe this is scripted. I believe this is within WWE's file of approval I believe that this is WWE allowing this to happen. Why? Because WWE is bigger. At least they will never allow another star to get bigger than WWE. And they have signed off on this. I believe they've signed off on this. It would just be a completely selfish and I don't even know what word I would use to describe Ronda Rousey if she were to just actually go rogue. WWE is taking this to the extreme. They've never, at least in my 20 plus years of watching wrestling, allowed such a quote real storyline, I still believe it's a storyline, to creep into TV. And I know that this is not actually happening on WWE TV, but people are aware of it. So it makes it more real, I guess, in those that believe this is real, that it appeared on Ronda's YouTube channel. But don't forget, she addressed the WWE fans as the WWE Universe. That's still corporate speak. So you're still engaged in how you're addressing the fans by using corporate speak. So you're still part of the WWE and their language that they use. So that was a clue that that's scripted. It's Ronda being Ronda and allowed Ronda Rousey to just go out there and be that MMA star that comes in and claims wrestling is fake and says, now I'm no longer doing your act. I'm going to legitimately beat the hell out of somebody. And she said, oh, I beat Becky Lynch on Raw and I wasn't supposed to do that. Or they gave me a whole bunch of stuff that I was supposed to say and they didn't say it. Well, if you go back and look, folks, here's your number one clue as well, that this is, she's just going to do what she wants to do. And this match between Becky Lynch and Charlotte, which we all know is going to be a triple threat, which you guys know how I feel about the triple threat. But when she went after Becky on Raw, those shots weren't real. Okay. I mean, she laid them in there, but not in the way that if you look at any of her MMA fights in UFC, that looks nothing like what she would have done in MMA. So for us to believe that she is actually going to be fighting Becky Lynch and or Charlotte, just look at Monday Night Raw. Those punches look good, but they're not MMA, UFC, octagon punches. They're not. They're not. Simply, they're not. So for us to believe this, it's a work, folks. It's a work. And part of me applauds WWE for getting people to buzz about it. Any controversy is good controversy. Any publicity is good publicity. Or get people talking. We're ramping this match up a notch. I understand all of that. I appreciate all of that. And I applaud WWE for going to such measures to really build this as a unbelievable main event for WrestleMania and to get people talking. Well, you've done all that. So check, check, check. You've accomplished all three. Now here's the downside to that. You have just had a UFC star, Ronda Rousey, come in and claim wrestling is fake. Well, what about Brock Lesnar, who has a UFC star, and are all of his matches fake? What about the rest of the roster that you have just basically crapped on and said that wrestling is fake and I'm not going to do what you want me to do and they gave me stuff to say and I'm not going to say it? You have essentially crapped on the rest of the roster. So what you're doing is a shoot, but everything else you see on the show is just a show. It's a high school musical. It's not real. I mean, that's essentially what you've done. You've cannibalized the rest of the show. And you can't go back now. Why would WWE do this? I'm not putting this on Ronda because, again, I'm of the belief that this is WWE allowing this to happen. I'm under that umbrella. I'm not under the umbrella of Ronda Rousey actually going rogue. I do not believe that. WWE has such control over their stars. And I know I appreciate their effort, but they have gone way off the rails. Is it going to be fun to watch? Is it going to be entertaining to see Ronda just be Ronda and not give a damn? Yeah, I think she's going to be one of the best heels ever. And she could be, but you don't need to go there. to call out your own product, like watching a movie and having the actors say, by the way, guys, everything you see right now is, it's not real. So just continue to watch the rest of the movie, but know everything else, everything is that's happening is fake. I mean, that's what they've done. I understand Ronda Rousey is a big star, but you could put a video package together with her, even if you have some clips of UFC, and say she's the baddest whatever on the planet, and put an awesome video package together that promotes the hell out of this match to say she's a legitimate combat athlete. Fine. Brock Lesnar did the same thing and was very successful. Very. You don't need to go there. You have just crapped on the rest of the product by doing this. For what? For what? We know this is... I'm looking forward to this main event just as much as everybody else is. Do I wish it was one-on-one? Of course. But I've sadly succumbed to this triple threat. And I get it. I get what they're trying to do. But I don't care how big and good this main event ends up being. It's never, never, ever worth destroying the rest of the credibility of the athletes that are on the rest of the card. That's what you've done. That's what WWE has done. I'm not putting this on Ronda's shoulders. And those of you that believe that Ronda is actually going rogue, well, I understand why you believe it, but WWE is a extremely powerful force, and they would never allow a star to do what and disrespect the business like this that has occurred now in real form, in real time. And Ronda is being Ronda, and they've just taken it to a level that's not needed. It doesn't do anything for me. It's gone beyond what would help promote this match. Because now, if you really watch, if anybody watched Ronda Rousey in the UFC, she fought much, much differently than she does in WWE. So all those punches she laid into Becky Lynch that were apparently real aren't. I mean, they're not, folks. Take a look. So I know what they're trying to do. I appreciate what they're trying to do. Don't get me wrong. I appreciate the effort and the fact that they're getting people to just explode about this and think that Ronda Rousey's actually gone rogue because, oh my God, WWE would never allow this to be said. Well, here's probably what happened in the boardroom. All right, guys, listen. We need to really ramp up this storyline. We need to make this the hottest main event, the most talked about main event in WWE history for the women for the first time ever, who are main eventing WrestleMania, and we have the hottest UFC star of all time in WrestleMania. How do we make this hotter? How do we make this the biggest ever? Well, Vince, let's make this real. Ronda Rousey's the top UFC star who's coming into a wrestling world that all the fans know is fake. So why don't we just have Ronda Rousey call out the sport that she's in WWE, and completely demolish the WWE structure of what we're supposed to believe in and suspend our disbelief on a weekly basis. You know what? Damn it, that's a good idea. All right, let's do it. Let's be honest. It was probably a little bit more intricately said than that. But essentially, that's what happened. It was ultimately decided by Vince McMahon that, well, everybody knows wrestling's fake and UFC is the most legitimate combat sport and one of the most grueling actual combat sports in the world. So having go from fake to real or real to fake, well, let's just have Ronda call it out and say that, you know, I'm done playing their game. I'm going to do what I want to do. Stupid. This is stupid. And honestly, I mean, ultimately, it's stupid. Again, I appreciate the effort. I know you guys think that I complain a lot. All I do is complain. I don't complain. Think about this, guys. Think about this. This is a hell of a main event. And it was a hell of a main event with Ronda and Becky that was the hottest it's ever been the day after the Royal Rumble. And since then, there's been arrests. There's been leg injuries that just won't go away. And my God, Becky Lynch, please just have an overnight miracle. I'm tired of seeing her on crutches. I really am. Just have Becky Lynch at 100%. I don't care what they do. I mean, at this point, I don't know. Just have her find a genie bottle and make one of her wishes to have her leg instantly healed. Because I am tired of seeing Becky Lynch on crutches and use that that crutch as a weapon. I mean, it's just I want to see Becky Lynch at 100%. But I'm getting off topic already. I'm just fired up about this. You don't need this. It was the hottest it ever was and going just smoothly. You could have had this one-on-one continue to just build week after week with Ronda getting the advantage 1 week, Becky getting the advantage 1 week, video packages, sit-down interviews. You could have done this the traditional wrestling 101 way and it would have been just fine and great and people would have loved it. But instead, we have this convoluted suspension that wasn't really a suspension. And then the McMahons getting involved as they always need to be. And leg injuries and arrests that wasn't really an arrest. And just why is it? It boggles my mind that they have gone this far and made it this complex. And it doesn't need to be. It doesn't need to be like this. It really doesn't. It could have been a very straightforward, it's boring. No, it's not. You know why it's not boring? Because it would have worked. And it's easy to follow. And I don't know about you, but I don't watch wrestling to get confused. I watch wrestling to escape from reality. I watch wrestling to get immersed in an environment that's easy to follow and I don't have to do a lot of thinking. I'm not saying that wrestling fans are stupid. That's not what I'm saying, but does anybody watch a TV or movie and go, I want to really, really think about this. I want to sit and have my mind just run about, well, are they doing this because of this? Well, I don't know. Well, they just did this. I don't know if that makes sense. No. No. I'm not saying it needs to be childish, grade school level intelligence, but it can be very straightforward. It's good versus evil. And I appreciate also WWE. Here's a positive. I appreciate WWE. And I'm happy that WWE turned Ronda heel. I love it. I love it. But you don't need to do this. You don't need to have Ronda just crap on the rest of the roster, which essentially is what she's done. Ugh. So those are my thoughts on that. And we'll see what Monday Night Raw takes. And obviously tonight, as I record this, I recorded this show in two parts. And tonight, as I record this, is Elimination Chamber, Fastlane. And we'll see what happens tonight. Ronda Rousey will clearly show up here between Ronda and between Becky and Charlotte. She'll show up, and we'll see what happens. She's going to get booted out of the building, and I am happy that WWE did not fight upstream like they have done with Roman Reigns for 5 years, and they just let the crowd crap on her. I love it. And they've gone with it. She's going to be an awesome heel. It's going to be very, very interesting to see what happens over the next few weeks before WrestleMania. We're closing in fast, by the way. What, like 4 weeks? It's crazy. So, all right. Now, this whole Dave Meltzer thing, I'm just going to touch on this quick. And then I'm going to get to SmackDown Live. Dave Meltzer, who I have no personal relationship with whatsoever. I really don't have a strong opinion on him, although many do. He is one of the most respected and well-known wrestling journalists, I mean, on planet Earth. He is very influential in the wrestling community. He has connections within WWE. He works for the Wrestling Observer. So there's your free plug. But he went on Twitter and he mentioned that Roman Reigns took a pill form of chemo rather than the traditional chemo radiation that is done, I think, intravenously. Now, whether or not that's true, I don't know. Honestly, I don't really care. I don't really care. Roman's healthy. I think that's all that most of us care about. I could care less what type of chemo he took. It's like asking me, oh, do you know what kind of multivitamin Roman Reigns took? I don't care. I mean, I have no vested interest in that. I could care less. But here's the problem with this. And Nia Jax, who went off on Dave Meltzer and called him a piece of... Yeah. She went off because he is delving into Roman Reigns' personal life, and that if he's getting information about Roman Reigns' health records, then that's a violation of HIPAA. I'm a bit torn on this because Dave Meltzer's job is to report on the wrestling news, wrestling community, wrestling rumors, what's really going on. He has some of the best insight in the business. That's just a fact. Well, you love him or hate him. But I'm leaning towards this as a bit inappropriate on the Dave Meltzer side. You leave that kind of stuff out of the wrestling newswire because it doesn't really matter, especially the health of the personal health of these performers, because ultimately at the end of the day, they're people who have private health records. So why would you expose that? And what does that even do? Who cares? Is it just to show people that you know more than they do, or to let people know that he wasn't taking intravenous, he was taking pill form, or it might have been vice versa? I really don't know, and it really doesn't matter. The fact is, people are vilifying Dave Meltzer for exposing this information to the public, that Roman Reigns took a different form of chemo than many thought. Honestly, who cares? But I don't agree with Dave Meltzer exposing Roman Reigns' personal health. Even though it didn't really expose much, it's still a violation of privacy. And, yeah, HIPAA. Again, I don't really have much to say other than that, so I'm just going to move on to some quick thoughts about SmackDown, and then we'll wrap up here. So, SmackDown Live ended with Becky and Charlotte, and I think that it's a bit strange that the SmackDown Women's Championship is being completely pushed to the side, swept under the rug. It's almost forgotten. And that's such a shame, because Charlotte would have been a perfect fit for Asuka. Charlotte would have been an awesome fit for Asuka, and it would have made the SmackDown Women's Championship feel like it's somewhat relevant. At this point, who cares? I'm sorry, but who cares about it? It's getting little to no airtime. Asuka was off TV for almost a month, inexplicably. And the Raw Women's Championship is now taking over both shows, which all of a sudden you can just cross over between shows. It doesn't matter. This brand split is... it's only a brand split when it's convenient for the storyline. So I feel for Asuka, who is getting the shaft this WrestleMania season. Ultimately, I think it's going to be it could be one-on-one, but I'm still feeling a multi-women's SmackDown Women's Championship match. So, other than that, I really enjoyed and liked Samoa Joe finally capturing a championship in WWE, the United States Championship. People say, oh, well, it's not much beating R-Truth. Well, he didn't beat R-Truth. He didn't pin R-Truth. So don't forget that, okay? R-Truth, who was... and we all kind of knew it was nothing more than a fluke, intermediate kind of placeholder champion for whoever was next. And we got Samoa Joe. And I'm fearful that R-Truth is going to be kind of shoved to the side again. Could he be involved in a multi-person United States Championship match? Yeah. But I think, I mean, with the rumors pointing to John Cena facing Samoa Joe at WrestleMania, which to me makes no sense. I just don't believe that R-Truth is going to be anything more than just kind of he was a temporary fun. He's just kind of a fun, quirky, entertaining champion that we didn't really believe was going to hold the belt long anyway. And we're moving on to Samoa Joe. And you know what, though? I have been a big Joe believer. If you guys have watched him in Ring of Honor, some of his best work ever in Ring of Honor. Yes. He is obviously much older than he was in Ring of Honor by 10 or 15 years. But this guy still has value. He still knows how to cut a promo. He's still an awesome heel. He's great in the ring. And I've always believed he could be an awesome heel champion. And now he gets that chance. Not with the WWE Championship, although I hope that's on the radar at some point. But with the United States Championship. And more importantly, it's going to add value to the belt. Much like John Cena did to it. John Cena added so much value to the United States Championship. He added an amazing amount of value to that championship. And I think it makes sense to have John Cena face Samoa Joe at WrestleMania with Samoa Joe going over. We're in a post John Cena era. We don't need John Cena right now. It's amazing to believe that. You know, just 5, 6, 7 years ago, you would have never imagined Raw or SmackDown without John Cena, and here we are. Doing just fine. And it's cool to see him, but you know at this stage of the game, he is less than part-time in WWE. It's just kind of like sometimes in WWE. And he's a guy that you know when he comes back, he's just going to do the favors. I mean, ultimately, that's what it's going to be. Because he's in the give-back mode of his career. He's not here to hold a championship for months on end. He's not going to be the absentee champion that Brock is. He is here to give back to WWE and put guys over. And you know what? Rightly so. That's what he should do. That's what guys should do whenever they're on their way out or they're just there once in a while. And you could say, well, The Rock came back and beat John Cena. Yeah, but what happened at the end of that 2-year program? Rock ended up doing the favors for John Cena. So there's always that part of giving back. And I have nothing against that. I think that's a great way to build stars. And is Samoa Joe the youngest guy in the roster? No. But it's a trickle-down effect. If John Cena puts over Samoa Joe at WrestleMania, and then John Cena goes away, then the next line of opponents for Samoa Joe is going to be benefited from John Cena losing to Samoa Joe, because now when anybody beats Samoa Joe for the United States Championship, it is in turn, by association, going to mean that much more for whoever takes the belt from Samoa Joe when John Cena couldn't. So there's that giving back that John Cena's in, and I think that's a good place for him to be right now. He's never coming back full-time. It's not happening. And I'm fine with that. I've never been a guy that goes to the arena and cheers John Cena because I never liked the character. He's very similar to the Roman Reigns character. It's a very pandering, manufactured, somewhat corny at times character that I could never get behind. But I respect John Cena. And of course I respect Roman Reigns. I would never want either guy to ever leave WWE. I think they're both major assets. I was just never a guy that cheered them because I don't believe in the character. It's not a character I can relate to. It never struck a chord with me. But that doesn't mean I don't want to watch them, or doesn't mean I don't want to see them on WWE TV. Of course I do. That's the difference that some people... Roman Reigns and John Cena, they suck as wrestlers. No, they don't. No, they don't. They are some of the biggest assets in WWE, and Roman Reigns is going to have a hell of a career if he can build off of this babyface turn that organically happened with his fight with cancer. Will I still cheer Roman Reigns? No, I won't. I won't, because I don't like the character of Roman Reigns. Do I like Joe, the man? Yeah, I met the guy. I met the guy 3-4 years ago at an FYE back in a back room before he did a signing for about 300 people that were waiting for him. Very cool guy. I told him I loved his match with Brock Lesnar at WrestleMania 31, I believe, when Seth Rollins cashed in. Told him that was a hell of a match, and I said to him, I hope that when I can see you guys in the ring again, and he told me, I think he'll be in my circle. So, cool guy. He's a cool guy. I have no problem with Joe the man. I still don't like Roman Reigns the character. Because of just, I think he would be a hell of a heel. But with Ronda turning heel and Roman Reigns, Joe, going through a fight with cancer, ain't gonna happen. Any chance of Roman Reigns turning heel is gone. Why? Because WWE is also extremely big on their philanthropy and their cure for cancers and all of that. And he could be that spokesman who can speak from real life experience and help build the brand. Which Stephanie loves to do. Oh, God. If she could remove the fact that she's associated with a wrestling company from every company that she deals with, she would do it. If she could take that out of her repertoire, she would. We're just a publicly traded, fun-loving, PG, family-friendly company. Boy, if she could do that, trust me, she would. So many people in WWE, and I can tell you from, this is fact. You know how it's fact? Because I listen to the podcasts of others that are in the business that say this, that those in the business of WWE, I don't have names, but I could probably name a couple, are ashamed and embarrassed and try to cover for the fact that they are in a wrestling company. It's still a wrestling company, so they just basically cover for it by saying they're entertainment. Well, how do you entertain them? By wrestling. Sometimes they forget they have wrestling in their name. World Wrestling Entertainment. But anyway, I feel another rant on that coming. I'm getting way off topic, so I'm going to circle back here. Overall, another thing on this, and then I'll close, is Daniel Bryan, I think, is doing an awesome job as champion. Do I believe Kevin Owens will turn heel? I don't think yet. I think they're still playing coy with Kevin Owens to see if the fans are going to embrace him as a babyface, because he has been heel for so long, and they're waiting for that other shoe to drop, and the fans are almost sitting in wait, going, okay, where's the turn? I don't trust him yet. I don't trust him, because Kevin Owens has shown as a character time after time after time he can't be believed. He has been established firmly as a selfish, backstabbing, very conniving, scheming character. And that's all compliments. That's all compliments to Kevin Owens. But it's very hard as a fan to trust him right now as a babyface, which is why he's not getting that overwhelming cheer as a babyface right now, because the fans simply don't trust him, and rightly so. So tonight is going to be, and I say tonight, but whenever you're listening to this, I'll just say Fastlane. But Fastlane is going to be a very telling night. It may be a predictable one. It may not be one that is in the record books for some of the best matches ever. But boy, is it going to tell us a lot about what is taking shape for WrestleMania. And I'm looking forward to it. So if you guys listen to this before you watch Fastlane, check out my Twitter feed at the WWE Podcast. And I will be live tweeting during the show, staying up as late as I can. I have to get up early because I work tomorrow. But I'll be live tweeting and obviously giving my opinions on, I'm sure, some very big talking points coming out of Fastlane. So, guys, that's all I have for now. It is WrestleMania season, so I have, by the way, guys, I'm traveling for work this week. But it's actually a good thing. Why? Because I'm bringing my mic and my laptop with me as I travel in my hotel room, where I can still record shows. And since I don't have a 9-month-old to tend to while I'm on the road traveling, I'll be able to do a couple of shows for you Tuesday night and Wednesday night as I record them. So that'll be a good deal. I'll be able to actually get you guys more shows by being on the road, which is kind of crazy, but it's true. So, all right, guys, that's all I got for you today. Please, again, like and subscribe on Apple Podcasts, Google Play, Spotify, iHeartRadio, everywhere that you get audio. I really do. And many of you have given me that 5-star rating. It really is appreciated. So thank you. You want an ad-free experience? Check me out on patreon.com/WWE podcast. And you can get yourself an ad-free experience, a shout out on the show, and even come on the show. I've had actually a couple people from Patreon come on the show, and it's always been a blast to talk to people. So check me out there. Guys, get ready for Fastlane. Things are going to kick into high gear. And as JR would say, business is going to pick up. Everyone, take care. I'll talk to you next time.
Hi, it's Jamie, Progressive number 1, number 2 employee. Leave a message at the... Hey, Jamie. It's me, Jamie. This is your daily pep talk. I know it's been rough going ever since people found out about your a cappella group, Mad Harmony, but you will bounce back. I mean, you're the guy always helping people find coverage options with the Name Your Price tool. It should be you giving me the pep talk. Now get out there, hit that high note, and take Mad Harmony all the way to Nationals this year! Sorry, it's pitchy.
Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Get to Old Navy Saturday only. Women's and girls tanks are on sale for just $2. That's right, just $2. No better tanks, no better price. Just $2. One day only. Saturday only at Old Navy. Valid 6/29. Select styles only. In-store only. Limit 5.